This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 9 plant protein bars, 8 hydration mixes, and 4 mushroom coffee sticks. And now you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping when you go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code BAR20 to get this exclusive offer for our listeners. That's IQBAR.com, promo code BAR20 to get 20% off, plus free shipping. IQBar.com, code BAR20.
Go Loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting them like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got me corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Fonthill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Fonthill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terrence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Right Style Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Tell your body your taste. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down.
Episode 269 of Talking Bollocks, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week we're joined by
Damien Dempsey.
Damo, you're back in with us again.
Great to see you, lads.
Great to see you. Mate. It's always good to see you, Damo. Can you believe it's been over four and a half years ago, I think.
You're serious?
Yeah, since you were last in with
us. The last one that bad, yeah. This fucking this fucking long. Get me back.
We've been chasing you for 4 years to get you back in, Damo.
You're a hard man to get a hold of. And I think that's my design.
I'm really close to you,
yeah.
Guys, you know.
Yeah. You don't do the social media or anything, don't you?
No, Jesus, no. I just go to the woods and just listen to the birds singing.
You love all that, don't you? Yeah.
Nature, yeah, I love it. Love it, yeah. I think I'm an old soul, you know.
Yeah. But I was only looking at that today, Damon. I just thought, fucking hell, like over four years ago, I think it was. Or was it? Give or take, anyways. I just remember thinking, Jesus Christ, that's at the Flying Boy. I think the last time that we bumped into you then was the Remembrance Night by Christy Dignam.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a great blade night, by the way. Kira put on a great night for him. But
you were brilliant that night, lads.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks. You, Damo.
Hosted it amazing. Yeah. Great night, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
Unreal,
it was. We were a bit starstruck standing in the wings, so introducing all these people. And I was like, fucking hell. But if Joe, I felt great. We knew who Damo was. So we were back there having a bit of crack with you. But then you're like, you're introducing all these people. And you're like, this is mental. And it was a wild crowd as well.
I know, you were great, weren't
they? Yeah, it was brilliant, yeah.
We were laughing, Damo, because when we come off stage after an introducing you finished your song, come out, and you headlocked the two of us.
Yeah.
Like 2 12-year-old boys, we were getting headlocked. I was like, oh, fuck's sake.
Sorry about that, lads. Had the adrenaline flowing.
Yeah. How have you been keeping, Damo?
Oh, great, yeah. Brilliant. Just out there, I was out in Howth today, just walked up the mountain, you know. If you walk up fast, it's a hill, you know, so the hill does the work, you know, so it's like jogging or something.
Yeah.
And there was with a lad, Seamus Reynolds, he's amazing. He's from Balgaddy in Clondalkin, champion kickboxer and black belt and all, but he's in recovery now. He was a wild man, tell me some wild stories, but he went around the world, he got into yoga and the breathing, and now he's bringing that now to communities like addiction centres in Ballyferma and Clondalkin and Edenmore and just around there. And he's been giving me a few sessions, you know.
Yeah.
It's incredible. We've done a breathing session there after the walk, and it's like doing 10 yokes or something. Where they all the pain and the torture, and you know.
It's a natural high.
A natural high, yeah.
Yeah.
Just from breathing, like 10, 15 minutes of breathing, you know.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a great guest, lads.
Yeah, we'll put him on the list, Harry.
Well, that's a good plug, yeah. Garamain.
It's amazing. And we've done a video, just me and him. It's called Between the Breath and the Songs, I think it is, it's called. It gets me breathing, you know, we do the breathing together, you know. And high as a kite, and then I sing a song. Just how he's just trying to get across how this should be for everybody. And it's free, you know. Everybody can do this every day. And it make you high, like, you know, a natural high. Everybody should be doing it, you know, the bit of stretching and the breathing. And the mindful ramble, like, you can get him on the web, you know, see, and he's doing free sessions on the web and all, you know.
Yeah.
But I think he could change a lot of people's lives. And then the power of the song, you know, we were doing that as well. You know, the power of singing, how that makes you high as well, you know. So there's all these things that get you to the holy well, you know. I call it the holy well, you know, when you stop your mind racing, you feel the great spirit within, you know. Mm. It's the holy well, I think, you know. And we just need to get there more often, go there every day if we can, you know. It's right there, you know, it's in us all. It's for free.
I think they are three powerful things, meditation, breathing, and songs.
Songs, absolutely, yeah.
I think people underestimate how powerful music is. There's a lot of people out there that probably listen to your stuff, Damo, and say, like, it got them through really hard times, some of the music, and they can relate to so much of it. I don't think people understand how powerful, well, I do think people understand, but I just mean, it is a really powerful tool as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, I think that's why your gigs are the way they are, Damo. When you go out to Vicar Street and you see the
full
gigs.
Full of energy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a blatant choir, like some sort in the crowd.
There's something spiritual happening, isn't there?
Yeah.
A scientist fella came along, he was an atheist, you know, priest. He came out and said, that's spiritual. I never felt a spiritual experience before. I didn't think it existed, but he came out and he said, that's very spiritual, what's happening in there, so... Happy days. I don't know how that started, but it's all good.
Yeah,
I'm just letting it flow, you know.
You're a very spiritual fella, though, aren't you, then?
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
I remember the last time you were in, you were saying kind of similar stuff, and we've seen you a few times as well performing, and you kind of preach these messages as well, but I don't know if preach is the right word, because they're spiritual with your own kind of interpretation, your own message to it, you know what I mean? And you leave that up to the crowd, and I like that. Sure. You're not kind of chastising or dictating.
No.
It. You're like, this is it. Take it if you want.
Yeah, this is what I feel, what I believe, if you like it. You know, go for it.
I was saying to you outside, Damo, that we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, Aaron Rowe. I was asking if you've ever heard of him.
Amazing singer. I'd love to meet him, yeah.
Well, that's what he'd love to fucking meet you as well, so. I told him, when he was on the podcast, I said, Damo was in with us in a couple of weeks. And he was saying, I think you still be a perfect match on a song. And he said, I'd fucking love that.
Yeah.
So I think that needs to happen.
Yeah, I'd love it, yeah. I'd love it, you know. He has a magic. He has some sort of great magic, you know. When he sings, you're there with him in the story, you know. And I love his voice. He's a great singer. He's writing great songs.
Mm.
So it's great to hear a younger generation coming up and being proud of their own accent and, you know, just lifting people with their magic.
100%.
So that we'll make that connection then, Terry.
Yeah, we'll sort that link up. Arden will be happy with this one. but, like, Damo, I want to ask you, like, what have you been up to since the last time we were talking to you? But it's been fucking 4.5 years or something. So, like, you've done an album?
Yeah, done a ballad album there, yeah. It's great, the resurgence and all the old songs, you know. I think we have a treasure trove of a Gaelic gold there, you know. All these great songs, you know, stories, tunes. And the young people are realising it, and, you know, the resurgence, you know. It's great because the ballad boom, like when I was young, was the 60s, 70s, you know. Early 80s was a big ballad boom, you know. There's lots of folk, you know, lots of ballads and folk, and we are really in love with our own culture and our, you know, all this Gaelic gold that was left to us by our ancestors. But then as I was coming of age, about 10, 11, 12, it was dying a death towards the end of the 80s and 90s. And Rave came in and the boy bands, you know, and I was going, bollocks.
Yeah.
Where's the ballads gone?
Yeah.
And they're after making a resurgence. It took a long time now, but it's after making a resurgence, thank God, you know.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be a good time for an album of songs that I heard as a child, you know.
Where do you think this resurgence came from then, Damo?
I'm not too sure, like. A resurgence in the Irish language, you know. It's great. It's great time. I can sing as a song, as Gaelic as well. I'm trying to learn just a couple of fuckle, you know. Yeah. Just a few words. And I just say, even if you're never fluent, just use the few words and, you know, cherish the few words you have, you know. Pepper your barley with Gaelic, you know. Spice up your English with a bit of Irish, I think, you know. Use it as often as you can. So it's a big resurgence. I don't really know where it came from. I notice the young people are very confident now, you know. They're not getting the head slapped off them, boxing the mouth. I shut up you, you know.
Bring back bullion.
Yeah.
Children should be saying it in their heart. They're going to kick up the hole and be out the fucking door.
Yeah.
But the kids are, yeah, they're very confident now, you know, very confident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is good to see, you know.
Yeah, but I think it's starting to lean more into traditional music, because we were saying yesterday, you know, that band Kingfisher,
yeah,
they'd be kind of very traditional sounding and
yeah,
Leighton Billman.
It's a great song, isn't it, about the hurling? It's a cracking song. Yeah. Well, it's a real resurgence in Irish culture, and it's great to see, you know. I was doing a gig Paddy's Day, you know, in London there, in Camden, the Dublin Castle. It's a rough and ready little place, you know. We just done a few shows in it, just to mix it up. But the crowd were sideways, you know, some of them. Paddy's Day and all. And I was telling the story, I was about to sing this song, telling the story about Flannard, and some fella shouted up, Wonderwall! Like Wonderwall! He says, "No, be a coin." Do you know what that means? And he goes, "No, no." And there's a few people shouting up, you know, it means don't be talking. He says, "No, it doesn't mean that. It means don't be a cunt." And he shut up then.
Yeah.
He was done then.
That put him in his place.
Yeah.
Do you want to do us one of them songs now, Damo?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Up to you. Tell me the fuck off if you want it.
I shouldn't be drinking that fucking tea, should I? Bollocks. Caffeine. There's caffeine in that now. I'll be singing like a fucking crow, ah, fucker. What's new to you, huh? We changed the habit of a fucking lifetime.
Do you remember the last time he was in? And he's like, "My dad was always saying to me, when you're going to write some happy songs?"
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, that's it.
Yeah.
You get a shiver when I fucking think of that.
Yeah. So, Damo, what song are you going to sing for us here?
An ancient lullaby, that's Gaeilge in Irish, and I always feel when I'm singing it to someone who's, you know, going through a bit of trauma or trouble, and I'm just singing them off to sleep, so they just have a good sleep and wake up, you know, hopefully feeling a bit better or something, you know. Like I said, there was a West Belfast fella said that every word of Irish spoke is like a, you know, a bullet fired for Irish freedom, you know. So just, yeah, like I say, just use any Gaeilge you have and try and learn a few more words and just use them in your everyday speech, you know. But show and show, give it a lash, yeah.
Shohin sho mustare malyanov mahyogan kalik koma quidam til mo Nachmare on canyons, Mastari in a labba on a colla gum broad. A lani maclev, Ganyai rido. Kolala Shane Sonis Kaki Hilka Ha Misha Ledi Aguiot Namanok Shohi Maliana Niemo Tulo Ooh. story in a lab on a colour gone
brilliant, Damo.
Ah, thanks, lads. My side is falling asleep there. That's...
It actually is very soothing, though. I'm not going to lie.
That's what it's for.
The last time you were in Rising, you sang a song for us, and I remember me and Calvin were sitting there, and we were saying, what, doing the clapping? You goes, just fucking clap them. Nah, that's fucking brilliant, Damo. Just a little more. Demo, what I wanted to ask you there is, what's your favourite song you've ever written, and what's your favourite song to perform, even if you haven't written it?
That's a hard one. To get people, like, you know, to get thousands of people singing Love Yourself Today is always a great buzz, but Negative Vibes, get them dancing, you know, then they sing as well, you know. There's a few favourites to have, you know. Any song where all the crowd are singing, you know, singing their heads off, is always magic, you know. Because that's when you get down to the holy well, when you sing, like you were saying. Communal singing gets you to the holy well. People are just high, you know, just naturally high. It's trying to get people naturally high, you know, I think is the key, you know. That's the goal for me.
Is Vicar Street your favourite venue?
Yeah, it would be, yeah, definitely. Just the staff and security in there are just like family, you know.
Yeah.
Feel very comfortable in there. But I might start selling ponchos and fucking umbrellas because I don't know when this came in, this point drawing thing.
Yeah.
It's mental. Like, geez, if you've done that in the 80s, you get a box in the head. You could have given me that point. Well, yeah. You know, don't be throwing it, you stick it.
Especially the price of points.
I know, yeah. Mental.
Yeah, they're obviously bringing their own drink in, then, well, that's what it is. It
must be. I hope it's not points of piss or something.
Well, especially Joel Geeks, though. You ever see it down at, sometimes you're on the balcony looking.
What
down.
Do you call it? The jungle, is it?
The jungle, yeah.
Yeah, the standing section, yeah.
It does be fucking chaos down there.
We had to stop doing a song called Paddy and the Railway, where the crowd get down, you know, for the slow bits and they jump up because it was going, you know, it was down too mad, you know. Then the keyboard player got a point, Eamon the Barrett got a point all over his keyboard and it just shut down, you know, so it was time to stop doing that song, but yeah, we need a good recession so people won't have the money. Won't have the money to be thrown at points.
I mean,
the police are gagging and throwing it all over the place.
Oh, stop. I did ask you, written there, what's your favourite song to perform, though? Is it just one of them songs as well? Like, yeah.
I suppose Chris and Stevie, and you see people crying and hugging and that, you know, they're grieving. Because everybody, you know, well, most people have lost somebody. And that's a song where people grieve for their loved ones, you know, who they've lost. It doesn't have to be true, you know, suicide can be true any way, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a big moment in the set where people just come together, hold each other in the grave, you know. Then you lift them again then, you know. So there's a lot of... healing going on, I suppose, you know. I suppose I'd see myself as a bit of a healer, you know.
Mm.
I'll try to be a bit of a healer. I tried that ayahuasca there a while ago and that was pretty intense.
Yeah, so I've heard, yeah.
A lot of people just in recovery just doing it, you know, just it seems to get down to the reason why they were, in addiction and brings it up and seems to get rid of it, you know. So that was amazing, yeah. I had just, like, you have visions, you know, so it was in a notion. I was going, my Jesus, a big wave coming towards me, like a massive wave going, oh no, it's going to break on my head. But I went up the wave and came over the falls and down into the ocean and landed on the back of a seahorse, a big seahorse now, a big one. And that went up to the surface and became an eagle. And it was on an eagle's back then, a big huge eagle, flying across like mountains and rivers. And then it came to these mountains and I was going, that's Connemara. Flew across Connemara and then went to Letterfrack Industrial School. Where my granddad was, you know, and that caused a lot of trauma in my family, you know, him being there and just what was done to him there and, you know, they passed on to his children and grandchildren, that sort of generational trauma. But yeah, we were hovering over Letterfrack on this big eagle and there was three creature brothers outside at the front of the school, you know, with batons and, you know, belts, and just looking ferocious, and the school behind them just collapsed like a controlled explosion into the ground, and an Oak Forest group, big Oak Forest group where the school was, and then the few oaks at the front just uprooted and just kicked the three brothers bang, and he just flew off into the sky, and I just started laughing. It was I don't know, it gets down to trauma and just sort of brings it up, and, you know, they feel a lot lighter, I think, since it's, you know. So yeah, there's loads of ways to heal though, yeah.
Mm.
To keep the healing journey going. Just so much trauma in this island, you know, that we just need to just keep on looking within and trying to heal, you know, and spreading that out to others, I think, then, you know.
Yeah, you're very in touch with, like, the ancient ways, isn't it, Damo?
Yeah, like, yeah, there's something going on there, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like you're reincarnated or something.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose we all are, but yeah. Yeah, there's some old thing going on in me, I don't know what it is, but I just, you know, just go with it, I suppose. But look, yeah, it's the greatest resurgence. I had 1,000 kids down in Castlebar there 2 weeks ago. I work with this group called Inspiring You. They're this Philip Cribben, this amazing teacher from Galway, just trying to get kids off their phones, you know, and just get them singing. So we gave them a set list of old ballads about a few months ago, and all these kids, 1,000 kids came and learned all these old ballads, you know, and you want to hear them singing. I think Vicar Street was good. I want to hear the kids singing. But primary school, you want to hear them? Just like Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know. Alvin and the Chipmunks sings the Dubliners, you know. It's brilliant. A big sober sing song, so that's what we're trying to do now, yeah. Get kids singing. Get the sing song tradition that it was reared in, you know, just keep that going. Get the kids into just getting together and singing. Singing, communal singing. You can do it anywhere, you know. Pop up sing song anywhere you want. And the sober ones are the best, you know.
Yeah, I think that's it's rooted in our DNA, isn't it, in the culture.
Sing songs, yeah. Yeah.
I think it comes from the fact that about 1,000 years we were oppressed, they couldn't write it down, so the only way to communicate was through word of mouth, yeah, and singing songs.
That's it, and yeah.
They continued around. That's probably why the Irish are brilliant when it comes to the arts and, like, music, literature, poetry, storytelling.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know no other way, and it's just passed on generation to generation. As you said, the trauma is passed on.
It is.
I think the good stuff gets
absolutely
ingrained in the DNA as well.
It was. All the art was passed on, wasn't it? Yeah. The sing songs was a big part of that, yeah.
Mm.
My favourite part of my childhood was that sing songs. Yeah, we feel safe and warm, you know. And the part of a tribe when the old people were singing was great. And they'd all be in great form, you know. It just puts everyone in a great place, great form. We noticed that, I realised that as a kid, and I said, we want to keep that going, so we try to replicate that on stage now in big venues, the big sing-song, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think the ancient ways as well, Damo, I think people are starting to kind of cop on that, you know, people survived for so many thousands of years without all this technology and everything around us.
Mm, yeah.
I was chatting to someone, you know, like, saunas are a big thing now.
Yeah.
You know, and I was chatting to someone, they were saying, like, the Celts, you know, when people were sick, they'd build sweat houses, so they get a load of turf. And they'd burn a fire in it, and they'd put all the sick people in.
Yeah.
Sweat it out them.
Sweat it out them, that's right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're doing that thousands of years ago in Ireland.
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying.
It's only really coming, people are getting to learn that now. I'd never knew it either till a few years ago.
Yeah.
So we had sweat lodges in Ireland, you know, like the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, do you know what got me thinking then? You know when when that happens, and it's like, your ma automatically knows what to do, no matter what the scenario is, right? And then you're like, they're old wives' tales. Yeah. But I don't think they are. I think this is what everyone done back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's just that we replaced it with something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to light the fire anymore because you can put the heating on.
Know,
something like
that.
Substitutes, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I think if you were to go back a few hundred years, everyone knew what to do in every single scenario.
That's,
you know, everyone knew how to cook, everyone knew how to clean properly, everyone knew all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now we're only slowly starting to get back in touch with that.
Yeah.
But again, like the sweat house and stuff, I only heard about that. I was like, what? I thought the bleeding. The Celts were going around doing a bit of fishing and then hoping for the best, you know. But like the obviously, what, like all these people were able to survive for thousands of years. They obviously were doing something right,
yeah.
You know,
they were doing their mushrooms and they were doing the sweat lodges. And, was it?
They were definitely on something. You're able to build Bladen Newgrange and what have you.
Yeah, I know.
And even that stuff what you were saying about the Native Americans. I even think like with the Native Americans and the African Americans, the Irish culture, there's an overlap in there.
Mm.
You know, what was that? What was that film? The vampire film? Sinners. Did you see that film, Sinners?
Amazing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was savage, yeah. Choco Connell.
Yeah.
So rob me song, the bastards.
No royalties. No royalties.
Oh, yeah, I own that song.
But even like, you know, like the Irish invented Halloween and then like yeah. Americans bleeding.
I know, yeah.
Corporalized it. But like,
yeah.
You know, all these ancient cultures, yeah. They all overlap. So
they all, absolutely, indigenous cultures, they all overlap, yeah. I was invited up to the Hill of Ward. They have a festival there, the Puka Festival. It's meant to be where Halloween began, you know?
Yeah.
And they got me to light the fire, you know, it's a special thing, but, you know, it's an honour, you know, to be asked to light it. And I was up on the hill, it was sort of getting dark, and I put it, you know, a light to the fire, and I just looked up, and over the hills, a few hills over, there was a fucking, I swear to God, about 200 foot bonfire. I'm like, boy, where the fuck? And I turned, say, look at this, and I turned back, it was gone. I turned to tell the head, says, look at this, and I turned back, the fucking thing was gone. I swear to me, man's life. It was mad. Man, I don't know where, what the hell fucking that was now. But my brother and my nephew and a mate from New York were with me, and you walk down the hill then to the festival, but they swore some fella came and walked beside them, they swore it was the devil. They said they couldn't sleep properly the nights after. This fella just came out of a bush or something, just walked down the hill with them, talking to them, you know, and he had a mask on, but they were shitting themselves for about a week after. They were saying, where's Dempsey? And my mum saying, where's Dempsey? Where's Dempsey? Thank God he was down the head, you know. Mm. I don't want them nightmares.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
But yeah, I saw a big massive bonfire. And apparently that's what they used to do. They used to huge bonfires so they could see each other, you know, on the, you know, the sacred hills, Tarda and Ishnockanal and the Hill of Ward. But yeah, I get these little things all the time, you know, just these little visions, you know. People think you're crackers, you know. But I wouldn't lie about them, you know. I wouldn't lie.
I think the last time you were in, I think you were saying that you seen a woman in your sitting room or something.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
Remember that, yeah?
Yeah, there's loads of things like that. Mm. Loads of stuff. The spirit world is very close to me for some reason. Nice though. Nice to know.
So remember we were saying we were sceptical of like
yeah.
mediums or people who say they can talk to the dead, and you yeah. were saying no, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's my dad died there about 3 years ago, you know, and you know, the few days after he died, there was just a few things happened, you know. He had 4 songs he sang. He sang Nothing Rhymed by Gilbert O'Sullivan, and he sang it Rare Old Times, and he sang, what else did he sing? Song for Ireland, and one more song he sang. But in the next few days, all these songs started coming up, you know. The day after he died, I think it was, my brother's mechanic, he was going out to work, you know. And he just going out the porch, you know, just out the front door, and he just heard the Song for Ireland. He's going, where the fuck? He checked his phone and all. Song for Ireland, come on. He went back in, and the Google speaker just started playing it out of the blue, you know, by itself, like, you know. That was one, and the day after that, that song, Nothing Rhyme, was played on the radio, you know. I hadn't heard Gilbert O'Sullivan played on Radio 1. Ronan Collins started playing the song, you know, Forgiving the Seat and Been Saving, you know.
And these are all signs, Damo.
Little signs, yeah, exactly, yeah. Mm. Little signs, you'll be sent signs after you pass, you know. Your loved one, whoever passes, will be sending you signs. Just be open to them, you know. Mm. Just be open to them. The other song he sang was Time to Say Goodbye. Mm. Another one, that Andrea yeah. Bocelli. Yeah. So that was a big one. He learned that one to sing to his missus, you know. I found the notes and all of it. He learned it phonetically. You know, he's a lovely voice, me, Franco, but it was the next day after he died. I was sitting there down the local just trying to write a eulogy for him, you know. And there was this woman sitting at the bar, like, this pub is usually all elflers, you know. The average age is 75, you know, just Guinness drinkers. And this woman, all sort of exotic looking, you know, sort of olive skin, and she was sitting with a friend all dolled up, you know. And she just started singing about 9 o'clock on a Monday, it was. She just started singing, Time to Say Goodbye. Oh my Jesus, I couldn't believe it, you know. So I started crying and all. I went over to her after she stopped. I said, I told her the story, you know. My dad had died to that song the day before. We were playing the music as you know, as he was dying, you know, and that's a song he died to, you know. And I just said, my father just passed away to that song yesterday. And I just said, do you sing in public much? And she says, I never sang in public in my life. She says, Italian she was. She's from the chipper next door, you know. She said, never sang in public in my life. I don't know what came over me, you know. I was going, are you serious? I just came into her to sing that song, you know, pretty strongly. So I was going, ah, here. That's mad, you know.
This might be a stupid question, but did you sing it in Italian?
she sang sort of the chorus in English.
Yeah.
And sort of verse in Italian, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking
hell. Weird, you know the song,
I know the
song. It's the song they sang him when Les Down won the league. They actually got Andrea Bocelli to sing it on the pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's
a magical song, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Blaine Gray song, yeah.
Yeah, but when she said I'd never sang in public in my life, I don't know what came over me, you know, to sing that song. I'm wondering there writing the eulogy. It was just, you know, there's a lot more than, you know, than meets the eye. So keep an open mind, I say to people, you know, keep an open mind.
Things like that happen and it's hard to believe it's just a coincidence.
Oh, sometimes. Jesus Christ, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Nice to know that. Nice to know.
Yeah, can help.
Damo, what are you most proud of in your whole career? Or in your life? What are you most proud of?
That's when someone comes up to you and said that song really helped me through, you know, it was, you know, or saved me life or something, you know, that album saved me life or what you said in that song, like, helped me through really the dark time. And people thank you, you know. And I sort of say, don't thank me, that's just comes through me, you know. It's from a good place. But I suppose that's, you'd be proud of that, you know.
Mm.
That's always nice. And that helps me through my dark times then, you know.
Mm.
You don't like the fame though, don't you know?
No, it's a lot of bollocks, no. But I don't really have any, you know, I have a tiny bit, you know. But I'd hate to be famous, man. I'd rather eat me Mickey, I swear to God. I'd rather stick needles in me fucking eyes than be famous, man. I'd be fucking like a torture. Oh, Jesus, like a torture.
Demo, you are famous, no? You're famous.
You have a cult following.
A cult, yeah. That's like... 1 in 100 people might know you, you know, it's great.
I think it's less than that. I think it's smaller than
I
that.
I wish it was less than that.
No, you know what I mean? The word of that wrong. It's taken you around the world though, Damon, when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It has. Singing has taken me around the world, yeah. I don't really go out to Australia and America anymore, you know. I used to. Until I got a mortgage.
Yeah.
And then you come back after 3 weeks of just travelling and, you know, getting the feck out of sleep and all and early flights and all and you're bollocks, you know, and you come back and you've lost money. So when you get a mortgage, you can't be doing that anymore.
Yeah.
The only way you make money, well, I make money is if I do the gig in my own bed, same way. If there's no hotels, no flights, I make money. If there's hotels and flights,
yeah,
I make no money.
Yeah.
So my only income is, you know, live shows, you know, so you just have to make sure you make a few bob or you'll be, you know, I won't be able to do what I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever be all pocket with the shows anyways, Damo. They seem to all fucking sell out fast as well.
Yeah, we always say, Damo Dempsey gig in December on Vicar Street. It's on the bucket list for everyone. Has to be. Blake and Greater is.
That's some buzz out, right, yeah. Did sort of realigns people. It puts them on a better trajectory or something.
Yeah.
That's what they say, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever think, not fame, but did you ever think you'd get to where you are today when you were younger, when you were in your teens or early 20s? Did you ever think you'd be where you're at?
I didn't really think about it. I could see myself when I was a kid. I got the guitar. I was 12, I think it was. I could see myself on stage in big crowds. I could see it, you know. I suppose that's visualization or something. But I'm blessed, you know, because my dad was a panel beater, my brother's mechanic, and the other brother was a panel beater, you know. But he had to get out the fumes in the garage. Were killing him. He had a bad chest, you know. They were killing him, so he's selling computers now. We do slag the other brother, you know, or we slag ourselves. We said to the mechanic, Emmett, you know, we got a paper cut there last week, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You were lifting engines out of cars, you know, but we got a paper cut. Right about that. We go, fuck off, you lazy bird of cunt.
Yeah.
Where's the maddest place you've ever played a gig, Damo? The most randomest place?
Probably in a prison in the Philippines.
How the fuck do you do that, Damo? How does that happen?
There's a priest from Dublin, Father Shay Cullen. He was over there, and I was on a flight going to London, and I was looking at the Carter magazine. It's this priest, this Dublin fella. He was hunting paedophiles in the Philippines. You know, there was a big American naval base there, and the sailors were just using the place as a big brothel. You know, and they were riding underage kids and all. But he got the thing closed down. He got the base closed down. You know, and he hunts paedophiles, Shay Cullen, in the Philippines. And I don't know. I think I was in a radio interview. And just talking about him, just saw this amazing fella, like a true man of God, you know. It was, all the scandals were coming out about the church, and they're saying that there is still some great men, proper men and women. And then at a Galway gig, Philip Cribben, who I'm working with in Spur, and he came along and said, I'm working with Shea, you know, would you like to do a gig for him? So we done a gig in Galway for him, and then I was on my way to Australia to do shows, and Shay said, stop off and see if the work we're doing in the Philippines. So we stopped off in Manila and went up to his house. He has a house there The kids in Manila are thrown in with, like, this could be a cell of 60 prisoners, and the young people are thrown in with all the adults, you know, in this fucking massive cell. If he hears there's a kid there, he takes them out and he'll, you know, give them an education and all, and, you know, get them a skill so they'll have a job and all, you know, some man. But yeah, so he just said, will you come in and play a few songs for these lads in the jail, you know? He said, yeah, no bother. And I walked in, there's 100 heads in a cell, you know? And they just start singing and they're all fucking crying and all, you know? I passed the guitar in and they were singing and had a big fucking sing song. It was amazing. It's on YouTube, Damien Dempsey's Visit to the Philippines.
I'll definitely be giving that a watch.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience.
Johnny Cash hasn't got shit on you, Damo. What?
Yeah, fucking hell. When Calvin asked you what gig, I didn't think you were going to say a prison.
You thought he was going to say yoke the rag?
Honestly, Jesus.
I think that was the maddest place I've ever played, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he gets any madder than that, Damo. Do you know what I mean?
I've had some great ones. I supported Bruce Springsteen, I supported Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, fucking Morrissey, Sinead O'Connor, Shane McGowan. Yeah, it was a bad year there the other year, like with Christy Dignam going and Shane McGowan going.
Yeah.
Seamus Begley, who's a great singer from Kerry, and Sinead O'Connor, they all went in one year.
Okay.
All these legends. Where I just looked and I said, I sang with all them, you know, it was a dream come true, you know. I got to sing with four of them Irish legends.
And even Springsteen, that's blading huge as well.
Yeah, that was savage, yeah. He was unreal, he was, you know. He'd done a 3-hour show and just, you sort of looked at him and he was really enjoying it, you know. And my man and dad came down and they were sort of ill at the time, but they'd dance for 3 hours to both of them, you know. He said when he first heard rock and roll, as like that feeling he got then, it was like he put it in a bottle and he fucking opens the bottle and shakes it over the crowd every gig he does or something. That's the vibe I got, you know. So yeah, it was magical. And then I had to sing song with him at 6 a.m. in a hotel. We were having a sing song in the bar of his hotel and he was on the way to get a flight and he just stuck his head in the bar. Oh, he was singing the Skill Days Over. I said, all right. And I sort of stopped, you know. All right. And he went, keep going, keep going. So I just kept singing and he came in and took his jacket off. He says, I'm going to miss my flight, but fuck it. And he sat down for about 3 hours singing songs, you know. Lovely man. The real deal. So, yeah. So I feel very privileged, you know, to have shared the stage with some of these heads. Some of these legends, you know.
Damn, have you ever been starstruck?
With Springsteen I was, yeah. I was a bit starstruck when I went to talk to him, you know. I couldn't look him in the eye and I just said, you're a poet, Larry, you know. I think that was the only time.
Why? Because is it hard for you to be like, you're a musician and I'm a musician?
I don't know, it was something just about the art of the Springsteen fella, you know. It was huge, you know. But you know, he wouldn't want you to be fucking starstruck, you know. So I don't know why I was, but that was the only time, I think. I heard I hung out with Sinead and I had a great crack with Sinead O'Connor, you know.
Yeah.
And Shane McGowan and all, you know.
Some characters there, Damo.
Some characters, yeah.
It's a good LTV you have.
Yeah.
They lived, you know. They lived. Even though they lived 10 lives.
Yeah.
Who was the best singer you've ever heard live?
I think Sinead, yeah, definitely. When she sang, it was like otherworldly, you know. Otherworldly. When she sang, but it was like another dimension or something, you know. It was like she had one foot in another dimension or something. She just transported you somewhere when she sang. But, yeah, been very lucky, very lucky.
Is there any new Irish artist that you listen to at the minute, Damo, or anyone? Not even necessarily new, but just younger who's out there now that you're a fan of?
Yeah, man, I'm enjoying all the wave of, you know, just, you know, Lisa O'Neill and, you know, Rady Pete and, you know, Lankerman Island, you know, the Mary Wallopers and the Kneecap and, you know, it's just Aaron Rowe and just, you know, just, it's a magical time for Irish music. It's great. You know, it's a very powerful time. And I'm very happy to see the resurgence, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you listening to yourselves?
Do you know, I was listening to Bleeding Pitch of this on the way in.
Yeah. Oh, they're deadly, yeah. They're savage.
You mentioned Kieran Morden as well earlier.
Oh, he's a great songwriter. He's brilliant. Yeah,
he's brilliant.
I'm doing a show with him now for the school in Palestine, sailing in the Abbey Tavern in Howth. So I look forward to seeing him. And Bryony Brannigan. Have you had Bryony on?
No.
It's great. Great songwriter. The Long Baggleys. And Christy Moore just covered a two of his songs there, you know. Lazarus Soul.
Yeah.
It's magic. He's done, what's Christy done? He's done the Black and Almer and Smoking Lemon Sevens, I think it is. Lemon Sevens, yeah, great songs. But his album, The Day They Put Between the Yard and LA, it's fucking brilliant. Check it out, lads, if you don't know.
Yeah.
The Day They Put Between the Yard and LA means, say, you know, the world. <Yeah. laughs> That's what he's thought, you know. The real old Dublin accent.
Yeah.
It's shielded. I got off in the car park there, just on Mercer Street, and me. My family lived there in the one-room tenement, the Shanahan's, when there was all tenements there. But there was a story about Paddy Shannon walking down Mercer Street, had one boot on, and some elman said, "Paddy, you're at that house in the boot." He says, "No, I'm at the funeral." Oh, I don't know if that's true now. I don't know if that's true. It was a good one.
It doesn't even need to be true. It was a good one. stop. Demo, what's the plans now for the next while with you? What have you got going on coming up?
I put out an album there called Hold Your Joy. It seemed to, young people really liked it.
Yeah.
I think young people are sort of struggling with just climate change and all, just the anxiousness off their phones and all. And the Hold Your Joy album really seemed to help them, you know. 16 songs and that, you know. But I've done the ballad album now, I'm just doing another album now. A new original one. I'm writing about the stuff that is a HHC that the kids are smoking, driving them fucking mad. HHC, is it?
Is it?
It's in the vapes or something.
THC, yeah. THC,
yeah.
There's another one called HHC. It's a synthetic form of HHC or THC, and it's fucking driving them mad, you know. So I'm just writing a song about that now. Just as a warning, if you know. With your mental health, you know, don't be smoking this. Jesus Christ, like, have your mental health good. It's fucking, there's nothing like it, is there? But when it goes, for fuck's sake, you can go to hell, like hell on earth.
Do you try and have a strong message like that in most songs that you write, Damo? Is that, like, you've never been one to just write songs for the radio, have you? Like, that sound good?
No, I don't have a radio voice, you know. My voice is like fucking Marmite, you know. Some people fucking go, turn that cunt off. You can't sing, for fuck's sake. Yeah, my voice wouldn't be radio friendly, you know.
I meant that in actually a very positive way. I just meant, like, there's always a message in your songs. Like,
there is.
You know.
What did Ronnie Drew say? I mean, they sing like an angel. Oh, thanks, Ronnie. With tuberculosis. You're not exactly fucking Celine Dion yourself, Ronnie. No, that'd be Barney. Thanks, buddy.
Do you try and always have a message in your songs, Demo? Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Usually there's a message, you know. There's a song about the devil's dandruff there on the Hold Your Joy album, you know. I can give it a lash at the end, you know. See if you like it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Have you anything you want to plug, though, Demo?
Any gigs coming up?
Not really. I think if this ballad album, it's called Holy Well. Because these old songs are like a holy well for me, you know. We draw from them. We sing them when I'm feeling low and need a lift, you know. And I think these songs would be a great friend, you know. I think we've lots of fans under 10, so if they're singing these ancient songs, you know, and maybe their grandkids might hear them singing them songs and it just passes on. There's a few obscure songs in it, but they're deadly, you know. If you want to wow people at a ballad session, you know, at a sing song, sing one of these songs, you know. Yeah, I suppose the ballad album, I suppose. Some Gaelic Gold, you know. Some beautiful songs. So, maybe that album, but nothing else really, you know. I think all the gigs are selling well, so.
Yeah.
But thanks, lads. Thanks for
coming in, Damo. Bleeding.
And you've supported us for many years now.
He's a magic, you know. He's
keeping the cultural revival going, you're at.
Yeah. He's helping so many people out there and giving them pride in themselves and that, you know. It's a magic, lads. Fair play to you.
Thanks, Damo.
Appreciate that, Damo.
It's an honour to be asked in. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, and you're more than welcome in whenever you want.
Yeah.
And don't let us chase you for 4 years again. Remember the last time you were in? I asked Emma to come on through email because he doesn't do social media, and then he texts me back saying, "I'm dipping my hands in Prosecco waiting to get my hands on you. You're getting a dig."
Big Joe Joyce would put his hands in petrol. Yeah. I'm dipping my hands in Prosecco now.
You're getting a dig on me.
I fucking wouldn't like a dig off you. Fuck that. I got a headlock off you, that was enough.
Yeah. When you first came, I didn't realise you were that big when we met you 4 years ago. I remember you came in the door, I said, bollocks.
Yeah, we put our Gertie, he's 6'5 and Emmett's 6'7, you know, so we're like Russian dolls, so I'm only 6'2.
That's what I remember, it's back, he was like, he's the run to the litter.
Yeah.
Like, is he, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I say your mum must have made the stew and the bat, did she?
I'm about 7 years younger than the two lads, so, but they used to fucking steal the food at me plate, you know.
Yeah.
When the mom wasn't looking, have me dinner be gone. That's why I'm so small.
And you're small.
Yeah.
The fuckers, yeah.
But as well, you have got social media pages for people to go on to and get tickets for gigs and keep an eye out. So that's Damien Dempsey Music.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, I don't know where it is to be honest with
you. Just Google Damien Dempsey, you'll find them.
There's Instagram, people do it for me. I've put up the odd video here and there, but just let the music do the talking for me, you know, and I just go off to the woods and try and get some more songs in nature.
Love it.
But the Wim Hof as well, encourage people to get into that every morning and do that in bed, you know, that breathing. But if the Mindful Rambler, get onto him, he's doing all the breathing for free and is getting in, lads, I swear to God, he's a great story, you know. And he's a great story teller as well, you know.
Yeah.
And he's changing lives, he's helping people around the city, you know. He wants to make yoga more, I suppose,
accessible.
And get it into working class communities, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where people with the bad trauma really need it, you know.
Yeah.
Love it. Dymo, you're a fucking legend. You're going to do another song for us?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's a couple out and then you can see then which ones you like, which ones you're going to use, you know?
No, hold on. We'll keep them all, Dymo. We'll take a full gig, no problem. But let's fucking do it. You sing whatever you want to sing and we'll wrap it up then. You're a fucking legend.
Lovely.
Thank you.
You're legends. Thanks, lads.
So you're going to do another song for us, Dymo. What one is this?
Spray Paint Back Alley, yeah. And I robbed the lion off Oscar Wilde. Maybe I shouldn't say that, should I? Just keep that fucking me mouth shut, shouldn't I?
No, you don't. Why not?
Fuck the minute.
I think it's a famous line. Now, in fairness, you said, quote, Oscar Wilde. That's the only line I know from Oscar Wilde.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You probably have kids going around like, yeah, quote, Oscar Wilde. That's Damien Dempsey who says that.
Keep that mouth shut, people. We think it's fucking my line, isn't it? Spray paint back alley, yeah. Give it a lash.
Don't spray paint back alley. I look up at the sky and I see true red eyes. The seagulls wheel around and around, while their couches and fridges and mongrel dogs roam free. There are rags and there are riches inside this head for me. We drink cheap English cider and smoke hashish from North Africa. I've been trying to get the mix right, but I haven't got it right tonight. Whoa, whoa. Old mustache, I'm so desperate for to be a man. People tell me shave it off, but if I shave it, I'm a boy again. I watch my father and my brother fix an old car and their rough oil-stained hands are skilled and scarred. Whoa, 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 whoa. There's a punch bag and a clapped out car. As the car sits on breeze blocks, the punch bag takes some heavy shots. Down a laneway sniffing petrol, I thought pebble dash was stone. As I stumble
trapped in a blizzard. The pain inside me disappeared. Across the city, down the alleys, a thousand kids like me. They are watching through red eyes, a flock of little birds gracefully gliding by. Whoa, whoa. I fought in the lane, I lost in the lane, spot of the shame. Then I fought again. I fought in the lane, bled in the lane, swallowed the pain. Then I fought again. I fell in the lane, got back up in the lane. I died in the lane, I came alive again.
Not the clap, isn't it?
Oh, thanks, lads.
There it is. It's hard.
It's a very long ass fucking song all the same, isn't it?
Fucking deadly song, but damn. Oh,
thanks, lads.
There it is. It's fucking brilliant. Jesus Christ. You said you're going to do another one, damn.
Yeah, this song's called Factory John, lads, yeah. It's about the sing songs. Now give her a lash.
Whoa, why yo, why yo, why yo, why yo. John lives on the street with 80 terraced houses, and they all look the same. He walks the same beat down to the factory, assembly line chain. They danced on his dreams, they didn't tread softly. Still he's grateful for the job. It's all he has known, but not many choices, and he hasn't the cheek to rob. On a Saturday night, at the house party, he blows folks away. When he sings so sweet, deep down with his soul, till the early dawn. Oh, come on, Factory John.
sing in the sunrise over Donamee. I can feel the sunlight inside of me. When we sing in the sunrise, Sarah, John and me, John lives for the day, but me, him and Sarah will drive over the Wicklow hills to that beautiful beach, light up a bonfire. All my plans on the window sills, it helps him get through the din of the factory, but he feels like a new machine. We sing round the fire, we feel something sacred, and on each other's spirits lean. All his songs are the only thing that makes some sense to him. When he sings all his pain, sinks or swims. He gives thanks for the sounds and the notes and words that we let off the birds. When we sing in the sunrise over Galway Bay, I can feel the soul rise like a mighty wave. When we sing, feel the sunrise emancipate the slaves. And we be singing, oh, why yo, why yo, why yo, why yo. Yeah, we be singing,
a lot of lads.
The fucking goat. Did you say you had too much three songs for this demo?
Yeah. The voice is fucking bollocks to this.
Is it, yeah?
Bollocks.
Told you shouldn't have that cup of tea.
No, yeah. A cup of fucking tea, that's what done it. This is about the Dirty Devil's dandruff.
Let's go.
Why yo, baby, why yo, baby, why yo, why? I met my cousin at the station. He arrived there walking tall. Something different about him. He was as high as Nepal. A mile a minute he was chattering. He used to be a deep shy lad. He wasn't doing any listening. When his phone rang I was glad. This flashy car pulled up in front of us. I knew the fella in it well. We used to share a rundown classroom, a little boxing ring as well. Initially he eyed me warily, as if remembering the punch. Some seconds later I'd be squarely
I felt the chill slide down my spine. I asked my cousin if he knew him. He said he owed him a few grand. The dealer beckoned him to join him. My cousin torn to shake my hand. Handcuffs, Rudy and Green, have they indeed, I hope you kick it, Godspeed. I walk home reminiscing, the warm safe nights we used to share. I thought tonight we'd make some memories, but he's not my family now, he's theirs. I knew a lad who threw the towel in. Graduated on the crack. He got so scared he ran to England. His mother's wages paid him back. They say you can't enjoy a drink now without your little bag of stiff. You just get bored until the bag comes, then you're just chasing the next hit. I never liked that devil's dandruff. Keeps on taking friends away. Kills and enslaves many millions down in old South America. I got the phone call Monday evening. My little cousin's heart had given in. He's often known to get heart failure, but now it's always happening. Handcuffs, Rudy and Green, lick and beat, I hope you kick it, Godspeed. You've been running round town on the devil's handcuffs. Up in this I wear a pair of handcuffs. Violence and greed, I break indeed, I hope you kick it, Godspeed. I hope you kick it, Godspeed. Why yo, baby? Why yo, baby? Why yo? Why yo? Why?
That's a powerful one, Damo.
Thanks, boys.
Fucking hell. That's a brilliant song. Many people will relate to that as well.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
That's the other thing.
It's an old fucking plague on our lands, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We poison. Anyway.
Yes. That's it. Damo, it's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah. And a privilege.
Oh, that wasn't recorded there, was it?
Yeah.
From the top.
I got a bullet, for fuck's sake.
Oh, that's brilliant, Damo. Honestly, thanks very much for coming in. Like I said, you spoiled us from the start.
He's a great man, lads. It's a pleasure and honour to be here, which is, you know, or a change in Ireland, you know, for the better, I think, you know.
Thanks very much, Damo. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Fucking legend.
All right. That's it then. Take care, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roystyle Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roystyle has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa sorted, beds covered, dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie, and when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you, and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal. Unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Work it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down, go down.